Senator Elton Davis and Senator Cowdery. So we have a quorum. Somebody else probably will adjourn us later. We have two bills before us today, and we're going to take up House Bill 332. You want to come forward?
Thank you, Madam Chairman. For the record, my name is Bryce Edgman. I represent House District 37. And thank you and the committee for the opportunity to present the House Bill 332 today. The bill, to describe it in one or two sentences, basically allows Head Start facilities to qualify for what's called the E-rate, the discount rate that the Universal Services Subsidy Fund provides for K through 12 facilities nationwide, not just Alaska, but all the states nationwide. And pre-elementary facilities qualified from the inception of the program in 1998 to 2004, which sort of unexplainably, and we still don't know why, the federal government or the Universal Services Board basically decided that the definition of pre-elementary facilities in Alaska law was too general or too vague to for Head Start facilities to qualify for this discount rate.
Mm-hmm.
So for the last several years, they have not been able to take advantage of, you know, basically the discount rate that would have allowed them to participate in this federal program at no expense, either local matching dollars or state matching dollars. And so what House Bill 332 proposes to do is to add more definition in the Title 14 in terms of the department's relationship with pre-elementary facilities, this to satisfy the federal government's apparent request for more definition. And then we also put as a disclaimer a sentence in the very last part of the bill that very explicitly states that by doing so, that we're not sort of inadvertently or unintentionally impacting the average daily membership count. And, I learned as this bill went through the process in the House side that intensive needs students, I guess from the age of 3 to 22, actually mm-hmm. can be counted into the ADM. And so we, at the request, I think it was an Anchorage School Board member, brought that to our attention. So we tightened up the bill, Madam Chairman, by adding the final sentence that this goes on to describe that except for a child with a disability and so on and so forth, that pre-elementary students may not be counted in a school's average daily membership under AS 1417. And with that, Madam Chairman, I'll pause for any questions if the committee has any.
All right, thank you. Before we go any further, I'd like to recognize that we have Senator Dyson with us now also. Any questions from the board committee members? And do we have anybody sign up to testify on this bill? Nobody signed up. Is there anybody online? I'd just like to say on behalf of the sponsor, thank you for bringing this forward. This is something that will be helpful to Head Start programs, and they are already having lots of financial problems, so any extra funds that they could get would be quite helpful. And particularly with us thinking about trying to include Head Starts into our pre-K programs, the three-year-olds and four-year-olds, that would come in very handy there. If there is no other comments to be made about the bill or questions to be asked, I would entertain a motion to pass this bill out of our committee. It has to go to finance, so we need to try to get it up there as soon as we can.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
I'd like to make a motion to move committee substitute for House Bill 332 finance. No. Yeah.
332.
Yeah, 332. The next committee referral with individual recommendations and the accompanying fiscal.
Anybody object to that? I hear no objections, so done, and so we will move it on to the next committee. Thanks for coming.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Thank you, committee members.
Is there anybody here for House, the next bill that we're going to hear? Senate Bill number
113.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Senate Bill 133.
113, isn't it?
113.
Yeah.
113. And you want to state your name and...
Good afternoon. My name's Patrick Cunningham. I'm staff to Senator Johnny Ellis, who is the sponsor of this bill, Senate Bill 113, Nursing Mothers in the Workplace. Senator Ellis is continuing to advocate for nursing mothers. 10 years ago, he introduced a bill that became law, providing the opportunity for women to nurse their babies in public or private locations. Currently, 39 states have laws that provide this opportunity. In your packet, there is a state summary from the National Conference on State Legislators, sort of updated 2008 of this year, sort of identifying states that have breastfeeding laws. This current bill incrementally moves the opportunity for women to breastfeed into the workplace. Currently, in your packet, it says 14 states, but now there's 16 states that exempt, that provide breastfeeding laws in the workplace. Among those states are the Pacific states, of which we're a member, California, Washington, Oregon, and Hawaii. These are progressive, family-friendly states that already have on their books this opportunity for women to breastfeed in the workplace. If Alaska passes this law, they then will join the other Pacific states in becoming a family-friendly state as well. What this bill responds to is basically it's a health promotion bill. As far as the, in the sponsor statement, it talks in terms of infant and childhood nutrition has been a major concern in the state of Alaska. Numerous studies have shown that infants who are breastfed have significant health, growth, and developmental advantages, as well as decreased risk in acute chronic diseases. It's also been amply demonstrated, and there's sufficient material in your packet demonstrating that mothers also benefit with lower incidence of breast cancer, osteoporosis, and other illnesses. So this really is more of a health promotion kind of bill, trying to encourage more women to breastfeed. Unfortunately, women often find it difficult to continue to breastfeed once they return to the workplace. Challenges include lack of break time and adequate facilities for expressing and storing human milk. Besides the numerous positive health effects to infant and mother, ensuring accommodations for breastfeeding offers rewards for the employers as well. Employers may initially see this as a infringement with government sort of having another mandate, but what they've been finding, particularly in California, some studies that are also included in your packet demonstrate that employers also benefit with savings for health care, reduced absenteeism, increased employee morale, employee retention. Women who are given the opportunity of breastfeeding in the workplace will return to work sooner rather than staying out to breastfeed. They also, babies tend, who are breastfed, tend to not get sick, and thus mothers don't have to leave work through absenteeism in order to care for their infants. And so this is very positive for them. It's also positive in terms of reducing health insurance costs, health care, and promoting healthy babies. It's also been demonstrated that as these children grow, they do much better in school. They read better, they are able to thrive, and so particularly children that are breastfed for at least a year, which is the ideal, at minimum maybe 6 months, would be able to have this opportunity. What this bill actually addresses is requiring employees to provide reasonable unpaid break time to nursing mothers for the purposes of breastfeeding or expressing breast milk. The bill also requires employers to provide a private and sanitary place for the employee to do so. By allowing time for nursing mothers to continue breastfeeding, Alaska employers will contribute toward ensuring that the Alaska workforce of tomorrow is healthy and strong enough to meet the challenges of our future. So though Senator Ellis feels that this bill is an important bill, and he certainly urges your support of this particular legislation. I'm open to answer any questions that you might have regarding this legislation.
Yes, thank you for your presentation. Are there any questions? Senator Thomas?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chairman. Just curious on a couple of items anyhow. Although I'm in favor of the bill, I see that when it requires, and obviously one would not want to be in the restroom probably breastfeeding their child, but many places of work do not really have a great deal of facilities available. I think of service stations that have garages or pretty limited facilities there. Other facilities that don't come to mind right away, but that one certainly doesn't. If a woman was working in such a facility, I think mostly in the Fairbanks area of the service stations I'm familiar with, I can't think of any place in those facilities that someone would want to be breastfeeding, because the offices, if there one even exists that amounts to anything, is pretty small, cramped area. So I'm just wondering what happens to in those cases where the woman is complaining then that there is not a clean and sanitary place, or the wording here, to breastfeed, and therefore needs to leave the premises, and we get into that kind of an argument there about whether that's reasonable or not, and 60 below in Fairbanks, 40, 50 below. You have a response to that concern?
Yes, through the chair, Senator Thomas. I would think in terms of implementing this bill, more than likely it'll be the Department of Labor that they would sort of define what is reasonable and what is unreasonable. And granted, there are probably places of employment where it would be an undue hardship or very difficult to provide the opportunity to either breastfeed that child or express milk. And so more than likely, they would just have to not mandate that the employer do something in order to provide that opportunity. I would think that in other areas, it would be relatively easy for employers to be able to provide that. And there are a number of employers on their own have already gone ahead and accommodate their employees who wish to either breastfeed or express milk and then store it and then provide it to their infant at time of feeding.
Thank you.
Any other? Yes, Senator Cowdery.
Yeah, I noticed in here several places we have child. Shouldn't that be children? What if a person has twins or triplets or something like that? So it'd be a friendly amendment, but I think we should probably. I don't say I support the bill, but I think that should be changed in the title, if you agree.
Yes, through the chair, Senator Cowdery, that's certainly a situation if there are two children, and particularly twins.
Well, it works both ways.
Yes.
It's a child or more than one.
Yes.
And secondly, what happens, say, like in this building? We got a lot of mothers in this building. I went through this when I was over in the house about breastfeeding. What would you recommend that we do? I know we're talking about putting a nursery in here, but that may or may not happen. I hope it happens.
Mm-hmm.
But how would you address, say, this building? How would you address McDonald's and all these buildings that have more or less the franchise requires them to have certain size and how they operate it? Would this be remodeling in them all, that the little Ma and Paul restaurant down the street? Or how do you think everybody would have to conform, I assume?
I would, through the chair, Senator Cowdery, I would think that, again, depending on the type of business, what kind of resources they have, that the intent here is for it to be reasonable, and if somehow it would incur great cost and expense and be highly inconvenient to that employer, that perhaps they would not be complied to accommodate their employee in that particular situation.
Well, franchise, probably the cost, like McDonald's, I'm sure they can afford it, but is this new construction, or would you go back and have to remodel all the existing construction and things like that?
Through the chair, Senator Cowdery. I don't think the intent of this bill was to do that. It was to support and encourage more employers who had the resources and a room that was available where an employee could express milk or nurse her child would make that accommodation, rather than be so strict and include everyone to comply with this particular requirement.
A lot of the franchise shops, they have, you know, the franchise has got their design plans. If you're going to put it up, it's got to be this way. For instance, like I mentioned McDonald's, but we could have the Taco Bells and all of this. And whether, I don't know who makes the determination, they can it's afford it. You can afford it, but this one can't, you know, that type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty subjective, you know, so. Anyway, them was two of the, if you want to address that, but there was two of the concerns that I had.
Mm-hmm.
If it'd be retroactive or just be new buildings, new business. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Senator Dyson, did you have your hand up also?
Yes. But I think Senator Cowdery just asked my question, and I wasn't paying good attention.
So maybe we need to have you ask it again? I don't know which question it was.
Well, I appreciate you
satisfied with the answer?
Your tolerance. Does the bill, because I didn't have this bill on my schedule today, so that's why I'm a little behind the curve. Does it make a minimum size for the businesses that have to make this accommodation?
Through the chair, Senator Dyson, it the way the employer is defined in this particular bill is any employer. So it doesn't distinguish between a large corporate employer versus a small business in terms of the definition in the actual legislation itself.
All right, thank you.
Yes, Senator Elton.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thanks for the presentation. Does this bill create a right for a mother to bring a child to work? The reason I ask is it says an employer shall provide reasonable unpaid break time who is a nursing mother of a child so that the employee may breastfeed or express milk.
Yes.
And I just wonder if this bill therefore creates an inherent right to bring a child to a workplace. And I'm thinking of now perhaps, you know, a mother who's a flagger and may not be in a safe workplace.
Mm-hmm. Well, through the chair, Senator Elton, that was brought up when the spill was heard in the Labor and Commerce Committee, and Senator Stevens wondered if somehow the employer would have to provide and accommodate an infant in that facility. And so we included in the committee substitute a line that said nothing in this section requires an employer to allow a child in the workplace at times other than break times. So what that would mean then is if the mother chose and had the accommodations to breastfeed the child in the business where she was employed, it would be during that break time. And I guess she would have to arrange for someone to bring the baby to the facility in order to provide that breastfeeding to that child. I would think, again, that would depend on the circumstances, whether the mother had access to someone bringing the child for that time and then taking the child back to wherever that child, to perhaps the child's home. I would think that by and large you would find more women taking advantage of the expressing and pumping the breast milk there, taking the break time in order to do that, having a place to store that breast milk, and then having that breast milk provided to the child care person that was taking care of that infant while that mother was working, and provide breast milk in that way.
Madam Chair, if I could just follow up. I'm having a tough time wrapping my head around this because the notion is that the workplace is a facility. And there are many workplaces that aren't. I mean, I'm thinking of a cop car. I'm thinking of a flagger. I'm thinking of many other kinds of workplaces that are not facility-based. And so I'm wondering, I guess I'm trying to come to grips with whether or not we're creating a right for a mother that may or may not be there now. Beyond, you know, just beyond the social good of breastfeeding.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
You're welcome. You know, those things did come up in labor and commerce, and they seem to think that with the amendment that they made on the bill that it's going to cover all those incidents. When we think about a place, if a person is in a car, well, quite naturally, they probably wouldn't have facility there for them to breastfeed their babies, but wherever they started from the workplace or where they have to go for their breaks or whatever, you know, it might be able to work it out that way. But when we talk about facilities here, we're talking about a building, a place where this person worked. Didn't take in consideration about someone just spending the whole 7-8 hours in a car. But even with that, they must have break times and they could go to a certain place and do that. Breastfeed the baby. Or as he spoke about it, you know, the milk could be taken to the child rather than have the mother breastfeed.
What they found is that by and large, there's a certain number of women choose to breastfeed their child because of the positive results that come from that. And that what happens is women who return to the workforce often, however, wanting to do that, don't, basically, because of the lack of facilities, their lack of break time. And so this bill was intended to increase the numbers of women who are working, who would have an opportunity to breastfeed, if there was an encouragement and promotion among employers that could provide that opportunity to give that mother the option of doing that. And so that was the major intent, as opposed to you know, mandating or having a person making a demand that employer, regardless of who that employer was or what the circumstances were, would have to make allowances for that. I don't think that was the intent of the bill, and particularly the bill's sponsor.
Although,
yes,
Madam Chair, I mean, the provision that begins on line 10 mm-hmm. says an employer shall provide. And that seems to me, in some situations, to be problematic. If, for example, I mean, I've used the flagger example, but it could be a biologist who is doing creel census at the dock, or I mean, there are a whole bunch of different kinds of circumstances where it may be a problem when we say an employer shall provide.
But when you read that on further, it says it must be in close proximity to the workplace, so it doesn't necessarily have to take place just, as you said, a flagger or would stand up and she knows she wouldn't be able to breastfeed the baby there. But it says in a place in close proximity, which means, you know, as they go to their break places or wherever, maybe there might could be some arrangement made.
Madam Chair, I appreciate that. And I mean, I guess I'm thinking of, I mean, we did a rather extensive repaving of the road 30 miles out of town.
Yes.
And, I mean, proximity there would be defined as a matter of miles.
That's true.
And it just says shell, and I'm just worried that means that maybe they have to move an ATCO trailer or something to the job site.
I hear what you're saying, and I'm just going to think about it. I think Senator Thomas wants to say something. Maybe he can enlighten us a little bit on it.
Well, I did, but Senator Codrey had a question, I believe.
Yeah, what about, say, there's a lot of charter boats out, and how would you address that? They're out for sometimes 4 hours, sometimes all day, sometimes for 2 or 3 days, and it's a business. And a female, I think I know in Whittier, there's a couple of females that own charter boats, maybe more. How would you address a boat
Through the chair, Senator Cowdery, I think, again, depending on how long they're out there, that perhaps the mother would have to schedule, particularly if she was expressing milk, would have to find, you know, occasion where she could use the breast pump for the milk to be expressed. Prior to that time, and then when they got home, if she continued to want to, you know, continue to breastfeed, it would have to, you know, I don't know what else you could do. You might consider putting some kind of condition in there that if there's somehow an undue hardship or it's an inappropriate or an unreasonable kind of situation, so that it would deal with that word shall, that if there would be some kind of conditioner there, that if the situation demonstrated that it was almost impossible to provide that, that that employer then would not be held sort of responsible for denying the mother the opportunity of breastfeeding a child or expressing milk.
I would think, Senator Carroll, in a situation like that, first of all, the baby would not be with the mother if she was out on the charter boat, because we are not saying that you have to allow them to bring their babies to the workplace as a daycare.
Well, that would be up to the mother, probably, whether she took the baby to work and that the owner of the boat. And then the time thing that you, having been a little bit, did a little bit myself, I went out for, say, got 4 hours and get in the storm, and I hold up for 2 days and someplace too, you know, and that's just the nature of the beast.
Yeah.
So anyway, I won't pursue this any further.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
I'm going to be a no vote on this in its present form. And my colleagues have brought up some significant issues. I would support it under couple of conditions. One is there was a minimum size for the business. You know, I got started working at a gas station and forcing that gas station owner, you know, to build a separate room. You know, they only had 2 employees on at the busiest times, and generally one, you think of people working in kiosks and coffee kiosks down here or whatever. You know, I don't know what that minimum number is, but it's probably, you know, 10 or 15 employees at least. And secondly, to give the present employers in a facility some time, you know, to you know, a couple of years to revamp their space or do something, you know. And so well intended, this is not my guess is most enlightened employers are going to bend over backwards to make accommodations for good employees and for the health of the children. And so, and you know, my wife breastfed our kids and our daughters, all their grandkids, and they're doing good. You know, the case is well made, but this is too hard a hand of government regulators on small businesses, particularly without some modification here. So I can be with you next year.
Senator Thomas.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I agree with some of the comments of the previous speakers, and I would not want to create a situation that would cause an employer to be negative towards the hiring of women based on some concern for what they may have to provide or our previous experience that was a bad experience. And from that day forward, they were, although not openly admitting that they were not hiring women based on that particular women of childbearing age, that type of thing, so, or pregnant women that were applying for jobs. So I have some concerns there about the shells that exist here and the requirements that I think need to be expanded a little bit to allow. And I don't know if one would consider, because it says the employer provides, but if somebody's husband brings the child in their vehicle, I would think that would be acceptable to most people to say, yeah, you know, we've gotten used to this being the operation that we do. So anyhow, I think a couple of changes would certainly make it more palatable for me as well.
Okay. Senator Elton?
Well, Madam Chair,
yes,
I support this, but I mean, I guess I would ask a favor of the chair. I know that time is short. But I mean, I would commit to work. there are two things that, I mean, the shall that Senator Thomas mentioned, and another thing that I would like to have legal take a look at, and that's on line six, where it says that the employer, et cetera, that the employee may breastfeed or express milk. And it seems to me that there the choice is the employee's choice. And if the employee chooses to bring a child to the workplace, that is the option of the employee and not necessarily the employer. And I see that as being a problem on some work sites where you might not want to have a child there. And so if somebody, maybe whoever drafted this, could reassure me that my reading of that is not as strict as I may be making it. And then on line 10, the shall for the employer, see if there's language that can work there.
I'm sure that we could get somebody on from legal to do that, but if you look at the beginning of the section up there, it says, an employer shall provide reasonable unpaid break time, you know, provide the break time so that the mother may be able to do that. So are you saying right here, what's your hold up on that when you said the employee makes the decision whether they should breastfeed or not?
On line six, Madam Chair,
yes?
The employer shall, there is a requirement the employer must do this. And then on line six it says, the employee may breastfeed or express breast milk, and it seems to me that language makes it the decision of the employee on whether they have a child there to breastfeed or not, because it seems to me the employee has two choices: they may breastfeed or they may express milk. And if they
yes.
if they choose to breastfeed, that means that the child will be at the workplace, whether or not that may be safe for the child or for other or for others. And again, I mean, maybe another way of doing this without slowing it up is to move it on to the next committee where several of us sit, but then have legal tell us whether or not I'm silly in my concerns.
We could have a legal address that and To be fair about it, we might as well let it stay here because this is a situation that we should deal with and not the next committee. And the next committee for this bill is finance. And is that not right? No,
no,
is this
Mr. Chair, there's no fiscal note, and so the next committee would be Senate rules.
So this is the last place that it goes?
This is the last committee, yes, ma'am.
Oh, you just had labor and commerce and yes. Okay, well, it has to be addressed here then. So we don't have anybody online to answer that, but we could. I don't know if we're going to be able to come back with the bill again. I thought this was supposed to be the last day that our committee was supposed to be meeting for House Senate bills. And this is a Senate bill.
Mm-mm. Is it? Yeah, it is.
So. We may have to meet again, but if we don't take care of it in this particular time, at this time, do you know who the person was that drafted the bill?
No, I do not. It's not listed there. /E.
Let's take an ease for a minute. Okay. Yes.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Senator Elton mentions a good situation that wasn't expanded on, and that is the flagger. That's a flagger is a certified position. So if you had one flagger on a job, and the whole job would be slowed down or shut down, potentially, obviously, it would be shut down because you probably couldn't continue the job without that flagger being there. You would then have to have someone else on the job certified to take their place, so there would be a shuffling. So when we start talking about some, I wouldn't be too concerned about the boats and things like that, because me, I guess I would see that would be an impractical situation for somebody to have to join them, because there's no provision requiring that they have to have the baby on board and the husband or someone else that's
would be bringing the baby to be fed. So, but there are some circumstances I see that would make it very difficult, and employers would be extremely concerned about where they fit in. And I am supportive of the concept, certainly, but I know that in my previous life, I would be hearing about this if we were wanting to put this in one of our contracts. So I know that we would be hearing that. And we have had those discussions, and in particular contracts we did, because the accommodations could readily be made. So it's a concern. Thank you.
Any other comments? We thank you for bringing it forward. Now, apparently, we're not going to be able to move the bill out of the committee, but I would like for you to be able to make notes and give it back to the sponsor of the bill so those issues could be addressed.
Yes, thank you, Madam
all right.
Chair. This has been very helpful information from you all.
Thank you very much.
And we'll be back.
It was our first time to hear, so it was not to be adopted. We have no other bills to come before us. Are in the comments that need to be made by the members?
Wait a minute. Excuse me.
Yes.
I thought we were going to hear HB 207.
It's not in our committee. It was on their pending referral, and she referred it to the Committee on Education, Special Committee on Education. It's not with us.
Well,
I'm sorry.
It shows how confused I am.
You're right. It was supposed to be here. We thought it was coming here, and I said pending referral. Well, when the referral was made, it got me second and had Special Committee on Education first. So that's where the bill is.
So, but it will come back to our committee.
Oh, yes.
I think I'm hearing a funeral.
But the thing is, it's not going to happen because it's already too late to do anything about it. The Special Committee said they're not going to hear that bill. So that's over. It's not going to come to us this year.
Is this the last committee meeting?
I'm thinking that there might be some reason that we'd have to come back, but I don't know.
Well, if
according to what's been given to us, today is supposed to be our last day.
Well, Madam Chair, if I just so I don't miss it, if this is the last committee, just thanks for being the chair. And I
do want to say the same thing to all of you. It's been a good committee to work with, and you tried to be here every time. There might be a reason for we to come back because there might be a Senate bill or something that need to be heard. But as of today, this is supposed to be our last meeting day. So thank you very much.
You've done good.
Thank you.
We adjourn.
I'll work for you anytime.